Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, it's time to play around with the sports guy here. You're playing baseball still, aren't you, Ed Wheatley?
Yeah.
You still do it?
Yes, I do.
How long have you, all your life, you played baseball?
Yeah, I grew up in baseball. My dad played pro ball, and then I just always played.
And he played for what?
He was in the Yankees organization. Kept getting hurt, but yeah.
Great.
He was. Yeah, that's where I grew up, with the Yankees.
So were you like in the Cory League? Or?
Yeah, I played in Cory League all the way up. I still play in senior leagues across the country. We were just getting ready to head to Fort Myers in a couple of weeks,
but
the series has been postponed this year because of everything that happened in there. We play in the spring training stadiums of the major league teams down there, but everything's on hold.
And what about the Cory League? What is the Cory League? Who started it? How did it start? And it's not just in St. Louis, though.
Well, it was actually founded in St. Mm-hmm. Louis by a man, George Cory, in 1934. It was a way to get his kids some activity, their love of baseball, and his wife had pushed him to do that. And it was like keeping kids out of trouble. He felt that if they had activities, they wouldn't get into trouble. And so it was founded here. It then was spread across the entire country. And then even post-World War II, as you know, if soldiers and things were in occupied areas or of Europe and whatever, it became a staple over there of playing baseball. It's still headquartered today. You don't quite hear about it as much today because all these communities have taken over the turf, if you will. They want to run their own programs in lieu of having the Cory Leagues. But, you know, it's still in presence. Belleville, Illinois' Cory League, just across the river, is one of the oldest in the country.
Now, what about American Legion baseball?
American Legion, you know, oh, my God, St. Louis has had some of the strongest American Legion teams, regular participants. They've won it many times. We have the great Stockham teams, the Anheuser-Busch team, Baldwin. Team won it. Edwardsville. Belleville was a regular. And one of the neatest moments tied to the American Legion was in June 1948, just before he was dying. Babe Ruth came to St. Louis the week after he did his big farewell at Yankee Stadium because he had a commitment to the American Legion team. St. Louis and Belleville were two of the top in the country, and he wanted to honor that, even though he knew he was dying. And so many men from the American Legion always point to that special day. But like everything, baseball has taken a little bit of a backseat in these last decade or two, and as that, so has the American Legion teams. There's still good American Legion teams in St. Louis, but not the amount and many in the quality that we had in the past.
Now, we're talking to Ed Wheatley, and he's telling us about a lot of things that we should know about in St. Louis, St. Louis history and sports, like corkball. Wasn't that a St. Louis creation?
It was a corkball was the creation of St. Louis. If you think about looking at pictures, even growing up, you know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, taverns all over town had those corkball cages in the back. Churches had corkball cages in either outside or even indoors. And, you know, it was one of those things. It was created here. You know, there's the tales of, was it created by some parish priest, or was it Chris Von der Eye, who eventually owns what was the St. Louis Browns, becomes the legacy of the St. Louis Cardinals. He owned a bar down on Grand, and they were taking the plug out of the the beer crates, and then they were using broomsticks to hit it around, and that part of the legend, where did it really start? But it was American soldiers, once more, going around the country as they were stationed for World War II, that were teaching everybody about this game called corkball. I mean, Yogi Berra tells the stories of teaching Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Men in the Pacific during World War II were playing corkball on aircraft carrier decks. And, I mean, there were just so many pieces of St. Louis history that is unbelievable.
Yeah, what about pickleball? That's a big thing these days.
That is the latest craze. You know, we've gone through crazes. You'll remember in the 70s and 80s how racquetball came on top of tennis. And, you know, racquetball courts were everywhere, you know.
Right.
And now they're become more limited and not as multiplist as it was in the past. And now it's pickleball. It's a little easier than tennis. And as our generations age some, they're finding that as a great outdoor activity. And it's amazing as you go around to where all these tennis courts were, or even subdivisions that had tennis courts, they're all making adaptations for pickleball.
Now, this is an interesting thing. The Pink Sisters, you're familiar with them?
No, I'm not.
In North St. Louis?
The Pink Sisters, the religious.
Yes.
Yes, I know which ones you're talking about. I thought there's a lot of sports teams.
The
redheaded girls that are in the of basketball. They're in the Missouri State Hall of Fame. Yes, I'm familiar with the nuns and the Pink Sisters down there by Grand.
Yes, right off of 70 in Adelaide. They want to play pickleball. Can they play it indoors?
You should be able. I mean, you know, you go out to like Chesterfield Mall, which is a lot of empty space. They've put in these pickleball courts in the mall right there where, you know, people used to walk up and down.
All right.
And it's packed every weekend.
All right, I'm going to let them know
because
they're interested in that. I know you're in – how many halls of fame are you in? I mean, it's a long list, I know.
Yeah. I work with the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame, the Amateur Baseball Hall of Fame. We got the St. Louis Browns, you know, historical side. We're heavily involved in baseball and have done work and spoke multiple times up at Cooperstown, that Hall of Fame there, the baseball.
Gosh.
Yeah, get around.
This is exciting. We'll be right back. We're talking to Ed Wheatley. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a Browns luncheon coming up and some big event next year, March the 14th, and other things. And, of course, his big books. I'd hate to carry all those books around. They are heavy, except your newest one isn't as heavy as the other ones, but it's just as interesting. St. Louis Sports Memories by Ed Wheatley. He will be here with us in the next few minutes again. I'm Johnny Rabbit. We are at your service at KMOX. What about sports? I don't even want to think about baseball after last night. We'll forget that. We don't have to talk about last night. We're talking about sports with Mr. Sports, Ed Wheatley. And off the air, we've been discussing various things and popular in St. Louis and so on. We'll get to that. But I want to make sure we don't miss out on the Browns luncheon, the St. Louis Browns luncheon.
Yeah. Next week, October 19th, we've got the St. Louis Browns luncheon. We've had Browns luncheons every year since 1984, remembering this team. They played 52 years. You know, Baltimore doesn't have anything to do with us.
No.
So it's our mission to keep the legacy alive. We got, in the past we've had, in 19 and 20, we had over 400 people at each of these things. We're at the Missouri Athletic Club. You can get tickets by going to our website at thestlbrowns.com and just go to the events tab, and you can read all about it. We got Jerry Royce, the famous Cardinal and Dodger pitcher. He's got a lot of Browns memories. He's coming in to talk about those Browns growing up in a Browns family. We got Ray Doswell coming over from the Negro League Baseball Museum to talk, because the thing about the Browns, and St. Louis has such a rich history and so many firsts. The Browns had a third and fourth man to play, African Americans to play in the major leagues, Hank Thompson and Willie Brown. And the first team to put two on the field at the same time. 7 years before the Cardinals, 12 years before the cradle of democracy in Boston. And we're going to honor those men. And then Satchel Paige followed right behind him. Sure. So, I mean, they were very progressive, led by Bill DeWitt Sr., the father of the Cardinals owner, Bill DeWitt Jr. And we're going to honor all that on this luncheon. And, we pack the place with memorabilia. People all remembering the special team.
What's that address again that you said to get tickets?
TheSTLBrowns.com.
Okay. Then again, what's the date on that?
October 19th.
10/19.
It's a 11:30 luncheon. We do it that way because we're like everybody else. We try to keep it reasonable to make people come. Sure. $40 for Browns fan club members, $50 for not, and you're going to have... As they say, baseball didn't end last night. We still have baseball
That's
in
right.
October.
We should.
Come to our luncheon next week.
Come to it. It'll be very enjoyable, I know. It's just a wonderful organization. Can anybody join?
Anybody can join. We have we have about 700 members across the country.
Oh,
I mean, we're over, I think last count, we were in 42 states. We had members, and we do events throughout the year. We publish magazines. It's a great way just to remember the golden years of baseball.
I know a friend of mine, Professor Bill Moriarty, is listening now,
yeah.
And he is wearing a Browns cap as he listens. He said he would.
Many people do.
What about the 14th of March? What is that?
Okay, I came out with a new book, St. Louis Memories, Forgotten
Teams. This book
teams,
right here? Or no, a different book?
No, it's this one here, Teams and Moments from America's Best Sports Town. It just came out the other day. It's just hitting stores. And it's being really well received because we make the story that there is another city in this country that can match St. Louis. We have such a diverse, rich, lengthy history. It's not just about, we're not a one team or two team town. It's not about winning championships. It's, baseball, of course, hockey, football. I mean, there's these hidden stories. Nobody knows there were four NFL teams in St. Louis. They don't know that there was a NHL team before the Blues, and we did have an NBA team in the Hawks, but they weren't the first NBA team. We get into those histories. We get into the history of Arthur Ashe. He couldn't play tennis in Richmond, Virginia. He couldn't play against whites. He couldn't play indoors in the winter. He came to St. Louis and was coached by Dr. Richard Hudlin. And he moved to Richmond Heights. That chapter is called From Richmond to Richmond Heights.
Hmm.
And that's where he played and honed his game, here at the Armory in St. Louis with, Jimmy Connors and all the greats, the golden girls of tennis in the 60s. We had three women, and they were all playing at Wimbledon, the Australian Open, the French Open. I went when I was writing the book and met with them, and they have their dining room full of medals and trophies from Wimbledon and all these other locations. And it's these firsts and this diversity. We talk about the women and all they accomplished. St. Louis was where the Women's Bowling Congress was formed. St. Louis was the bowling capital of the world, especially honed by Team Budweiser in the 1958.
Sure.
The late 50s and 60s, bowling, was the rage of this town, the Arena Bowl and all that. And you tell the stories of that team and all the great other teams and these individuals. I go to Ray Bluth, who's the last surviving member of Team Budweiser. And he had, like the others, he's got his scrapbooks all out in the dining room. He's got his banners, his stories. He's even got his Budweiser uniform
that we were
taking pictures of. And it's just one sport after the other.
What was your favorite bowling alley over the years? Did you have one that you've liked more than others? Or?
Well, I think it's more, where you grew up.
Sure.
And, we would always go to Delwood Bowl because we could walk there and bowl as kids. But, Redbird Lanes is the infamous Terry Moore.
Oh, Terry
Bowl.
Moore. I love Terry Moore Lanes for one specific reason.
Yeah.
It was right across the street from Melrose Pizza. Melrose Pizza is a great place to go after. Now, this book is different than your other books. Your other books, how many books are there? Four?
Five.
Five books
I've written
now.
Five books, and we made three movies for PBS.
And what are the PBS movies?
Well, the first one was with John Hamm. We did the St. Louis Browns, a team baseball forgot, and we set records for viewership here in St. Louis. And then we came back. They asked us if there's a sequel, and we said, yes, we have a sequel. I wanted to get into the fans, remember. So A Baseball Legacy, fans remember the St. Louis Browns. That did win the Emmy Award. The other one was also nominated. And we just came out with Wrestling at the Chase this summer as a film, and it's done well, as has the book.
And part of about that Wrestling at the Chase book, you're going to be at an event that I'm presenting at the Missouri History Museum on Tuesday, November 15th, called The Front Row. And that was a place to be, the front row ringside.
Oh, it was like, that was the hottest ticket in town. You know, Nat King Cole, Frank Sinatra, Rosemary Clooney, the Rat Pack could be playing in the Chase Club about 100 steps away from the Coruscant Room in the Chase. The guy calls his wife and says, hey, honey, I got tickets for the Chase tonight. She may think she's going to hear Frank Sinatra, but no, they're going to wrestling, because that was the hardest and hottest ticket in town. It was like Saturday Night Live in New York. You know, they have these list, the lottery list to get on to Saturday Night Live. That's how it was here. Gosh. And people would wait months and months and months to get the ticket. And then when they came, they were dressed in formal wear, women in formal gowns. Even when you watch the films, they even had evening gloves, you know, and the men in suits or tuxedos and screaming and hollering, especially the women. They were the ones who wanted the most. And we had the red-haired, beehived Ruthie shaking her chicken, or a big pacifier at the wrestler screaming at him. So, I mean, it's great.
What about next? Is it next Sunday you're going to be at the Carondelet?
We're talking about
Carondelet Historical Society in Michigan.
And we're talking about baseball there. My book, Baseball in St. Louis, From Little Leagues to Major Leagues, how St. Louis has become the best baseball town in America, how it came to St. Louis, how it evolved. What we spoke about a moment ago, from the Little Leagues up to the Corys, how all these things created here. The great American Legion teams and high school teams. You know, there was a time in the late 40s and early 50s, there were more men in the major leagues from one high school, Beaumont High School.
Beaumont,
than any other high school in the country. Playing major
in the country,
ball.
I didn't
realize. And you know, today Lafayette has had a lot of ball players, but you know, we have been a great city. As Whitey, when he and I were talking, he was going through the book, said, "God, it's unbelievable." When he was the Mets player development lead before he came to the Cardinals, he said, "St. Louis is where I always sent my scouts because we had the talent."
That's great. What about your books? Are they all available?
They're all available. You can. Get them at bookstores. You can get them online. You can get them at sportstales.org, or you can get them at reedypress.com.
And the new one is St. Louis Sports Memories. It's different configuration than the other books.
Yeah, the others were all coffee table books, which we won a lot of national awards for them, but I wanted a books smaller. Books have gotten expensive, not only to produce, but for people to buy. And this is a beautiful book. The fact that we could do this with this quality of paper and this vivid color and keep it in the 20s, because I wanted this to be, as I said, St. Louis gets its teeth kicked in on our social issues a lot of times. Let's show the world what a great town we are, because nobody can match our sports history.
No,
we take
you're
it case by case, sport by sport. I mean, four of the major cups in sports are named and from St. Louisans. You know, we've got the Herman Cup, which is given to is the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy for soccer. It's given every January by the Missouri Athletic Club. You know, we've got the Davis Cup, Dwight Davis, for tennis. We got the Walker Cup for golf. Walker family, that's George Herbert Walker Bush's family. And then we've got the Sinkfield Cup in chess. We are the best sports town in America, and I make the case in the book.
One thing about chess, the problems lately, the cheating scandal.
Whenever you have something good, there's always got to be something, isn't it? There's always something. And I think, you know, how this is all happening, who knows? But it is in the buzz. And we have the beautiful Chess Hall of Fame and Chess Center across the street up there in Central West End. Beautiful and tremendous story. And what the Sinkfield family has done for this town.
That's true.
You know, the Congress at first declared us the chess capital of North America, and it has now evolved to be the world. There's more grandmasters of chess that live in St. Louis than any other city. You know, Moscow, you think, was the, there's more here than Moscow.
Well, Ed, thank you very
much. Thank you having me again.
Ed, that's Ed Wheatley, that new book, and I would recommend it, St. Louis Sports Memories, and I would recommend listening on to KMOX at your service. We've got a very interesting half hour coming up as well. So stand by, because this is Johnny Rabbit at your service. At your service in KMOX, I'm Johnny Rabbit. Joy Grednick is here, and she has a couple of special guests with her today that are our guests as well. This is a merry group. Hi, Joy. How you doing? You look good.
It's so nice to see you. Thank you very much.
Got a nice hat on, as you always do.
And I can wear it now because I don't have my headphones on.
Yeah, so. I was just wondering, how do you get the... That's people ask me, how, do you wear your rabbit hat when you're on the air? I couldn't wear it because how do you get the headphones on?
Yes.
Now, Joy is the perpetrator of the Fountain on Locust. That's how kind of the revival of historic Automobile Row.
Yes.
The 3037 Locust Street. I hope you've been there to get the Johnny Rabbit Monkey Malt. Or is it a money malt now?
Well, it's probably a big money malt, Johnny. But, but you know, I sold the restaurant to the Eichenhorst this last February, and they're doing a wonderful job.
Oh,
and I'm so glad that somebody was able to take the torch and not just walk with it, but really run with it. So,
that's nice.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the, you know, that historic Automobile Row, Locust Street, basically.
Yes.
From what street to what street would you say?
Well, all of Locust, from, I guess, all the way up to Grand, and then down past, well, east of Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
the whole area was historic Automotive Row and automotive related. So back in the day, this is around 1916, in that time, when you got a car, your family first got a car, many families first got a car, that's where they went. They went down to, and it was so amazing down there at the time because it all had plate glass windows. Because, you know, up until that time, a large expanse of glass was only done by small panes, like you see downtown on factories. You see, it's like French panes almost.
Mm-hmm.
But here they had these huge plate glass windows, and it was dazzling, like going down a King's Highway.
It was. And the nice thing is the buildings were stayed for the most part. Very few were torn down. Very few were beyond repair.
That's absolutely
now
true.
Now, when you had the Fountain on Locust, that was in, what was the car company in there?
It was the Stutz building, and it was the Supreme Car Company who had housed the Stutz car, which at the time when I bought the building, I didn't even know what the Stutz car was, but they were famous for the Bearcat and the Black Hawk, amongst many other vehicles. In fact, I didn't know, but at the time, they would make anything that if you would pay them, they would make a garbage truck or a limousine or a hearse or anything.
And then all of the old car companies were down there. Nash was there, Studebaker, Locomobile, you
and
name it.
If you go down there now, it's really a nice thing to do to walk down the street and see the plaques that the Horseless Carriage Club put up generously about a decade ago or so.
And they have
the old cars that were made in those buildings on a plaque in front of the building. In fact, at that time, it was the format of the buildings was almost all the same down the street, where you would have a showroom front, a median, which was the office for the salespeople,
mm-hmm.
and then a big garage space in the back where they would make the car per order for you. So if you saw a model up in the front in the showroom and you liked it, they'd make you one.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
When something's happening at another location.
Yep.
2926 Locust Street.
That's right.
What in the world is going on there?
Exciting thing, and it's coming up this next weekend, the Saturday, the 15th, and my son, Keaton Christensen, is in charge of this together with his partner, Jacob Case, and they're both here today, and I'm just going to let them tell you all about it. It's kind of bringing back the history of the street full circle to modern day car stuff.
Well, Keaton and Jacob, this is going to be the 15th. That's this coming Saturday. What time? All day?
Start at 8 a.m. for cars and coffee, and then at 10 a.m. is when the official event begins with vendors and a couple other things they're bringing out with flight simulators and the whole Boeing team. So we'll have a lot going on. Great for the whole family to come out, and it'll end at 3 o'clock.
Now, you said the whole Boeing team. What the heck does that mean?
From Boeing, we'll have a different variety of groups that will be as like vendors who have different things to show to people who show up, whether it be for just fun games for the kids,
mm-hmm.
candy from the trunk or treat, or as Keaton mentioned, these flight simulators that will kind of just spread some knowledge of what Boeing's doing in the community here in St. Louis.
How interesting. There, I've never heard of that before, them doing such a thing.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but did we even say it's the Cherry Garage?
We did not say that. We're trying to keep that a secret. Okay, you're giving it away. All right, and now we have to tell them.
What a lousy promoter
it's the Cherry Garage.
Yes.
Yeah, so the reason that we're doing it there, Boeing, we're grateful for them doing it with us. It's the first time they're doing their car show off campus. And we have an automotive facility that we're creating there, and they're very supportive of what we're doing.
What do you mean an automotive facility? What does that entail?
That's a good question. So we basically just build cars. We do anything car-related. We love it. We have a couple of guys that are working with us on the property, so we're kind of trying to bring back exactly what historic automotive was, or Roe was, and that's building cars in those buildings and showing them up front. So we have a whole business oriented around that, as well as planning on building a cafe in the front where we can showcase our cars and you can watch us build those cars in the back.
Building cars?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Has anybody done it yet?
Oh, we've put a couple out there, yeah.
Really?
No, they're not from scratch completely yet. That's our main goal in the end. But
so what if I wanted you to build a car, what would you want to know?
What you want?
What kind of car I would want?
Then they also make them, they retrofit classic cars to make them electric. So Jacob has a big electrical background. Keaton's real knowledgeable about electric. And I guess, can't you make your new car electric?
Sure thing, yeah.
And you can make an old car electric.
Yeah, so one of the main things that we want to offer that will set us apart from your regular, custom automobile facility is that we will restore any car from any era, but then give it, the futuristic electric drivetrain and all electric controls that you can keep driving on the road when the gas cars are outlawed.
That's right. It won't be that long. How many people work there to do this? Just you two?
Well, we're still in the startup phase of it, of course, but we have a group of about 6 to 8 guys there normally. And right now we have our own independent projects, which we showcase on our YouTube channel. But altogether, we're still working towards that electric vehicle retrofitting. It's not fully complete yet.
What is a YouTube channel? Where can you find it?
If you just go to YouTube and search The Cherry Garage.
The Cherry Garage.
Have you done that, Johnny? You have to do it because he's
I have no
hundreds
idea.
Hundreds of videos on there.
Really? No, I have no idea. That'd be worth it.
You have to like and subscribe.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Yes, it's importamento. That's Spanish.
Sure. But it does. I mean, this is coming up Saturday. I mean, somebody can bring the kids, bring the family. I guess there's plenty of room. I've not seen the place yet.
Oh, yeah.
What was in their building before?
Oh, that we have the Cole Standard building.
Oh,
and we have the plaque
okay.
on the front from the Horseless Carriage Club.
We have.
Has actually a couple other dozen car manufacturers in there as well.
Wasn't it the Autumn and the Vale? And again, cars I never heard of.
Yeah. Right, of course.
They're
long gone.
The bigger ones.
Yeah, and Cole was really a big one. I mean, they did the same thing as you were talking about Stutz. They built hearses and all kinds of fancy. They had a lot of very fancy cars as well. It's an interesting thing that you're doing. We're going to talk more about it and a little more about another historic place in Soulard, if you don't mind.
Oh, my.
And nothing to do with the Cherry Garage, directly, indirectly. So we're going to do that when we come right back. We're at your service. I'm Johnny Rabbit. Our guests here are Keaton Christensen, Jacob Case, and Joy Grednick. And we will return to the Cherry Garage on KMOX.
OX.
It's Johnny Rabbit. We're at your service, and we have some guests. If you've just tuned in, let me tell you who's here. It is Joy Grednick, and it is Keaton Christensen, and it is Jacob Case. They are here for various reasons. Now, Keaton and Jacob have a business called the Cherry Garage on Locust. It's 2926 Locust Street, and you're having a big event coming Saturday. Tell us about that event again.
So Saturday, we're having a big event. We're collaborating with the Boeing company here in St. Louis, and we're hosting a car show.
Now, what kind of cars will be in the car show?
Well, there's going to be a vast variety of cars, everywhere from the 20s of the 1900s in the 19th century all the way up to the 20s of, this
year. Wonderful. So, wonderful. Well, is the street going to be closed off? Or?
That's right. Oh. We're going to close down the street so we can have all the cars parked out on the old historic automotive row.
Mm-hmm.
For the judging. And we also plan to have some vendors out on the sidewalks and some food trucks out, as well as some yard games. So,
terrific. Yeah. Oh, well, that's going to be a big deal. It's at 8. It starts at 8 in the morning, technically, and goes to 3 in the afternoon, and it's coming up Saturday, and it's on Historic Automobile Road. I remember the address, 2926 Locust, the Cherry Garage. When you moved in, what was there before? What was in just immediately before?
Oh, right prior before that was a furniture building company. And we had to clean out the whole place, and we're still in the process of renovating the building.
I'd say, well, I'm sure that is a big process. As you know, Joy, from renovating a certain building at 3037 Locust. Joy, Landmarks is coming to visit you, the Landmarks Association of St. Louis.
Yes, they're coming to 10 Westmoreland Place, and I think they're limiting the ticket sales to 50 or 60, but mm-hmm. it's on October 29th, starting at 10 o'clock, and that's just going through... the house, 10 Westmoreland, you know, Westmoreland and Portland are the last private places in the entire nation. And they're right here in St. Louis. So St. Louis had a number of private places, but they either became not private over the years
right.
or were just, you know, demolished by
sure,
hurricanes
like
or
Vandiver
whatever.
Place.
Exactly,
yeah,
yes.
On. So this is open to the public, but you got to get a ticket ahead of
through
time,
Landmarks,
I assume.
Yes, Landmarks Association.
Landmarks Association. Contact them. It's on the 29th, 10 Westmoreland. How many rooms in that house?
Oh, gosh. Oh, there's a question. Shouldn't I know the answer
you should.
To that?
You never
after
do, but I know you should.
For 26 years, yes. I know that there are 10 bedrooms and 11 bathrooms. That I know, but I didn't actually count all the rooms, but it's big.
It is. It really is a magnificent
place.
It's
12,000 square feet, and there's a ballroom in the basement, which is unusual. The man who built the house was Louis Dozier. He had a cracker business that became Nabisco later.
Oh.
So it's actually on the market right now. After 26 years, we're selling our house, and it's being marketed as the Nabisco Mansion. But you know the phrase, Polly want a cracker, that came from this house. This was the origin of the Dozier Wheel Cracker Company, which at the time was the biggest business, bigger than the furs, the beers, the shoes in St. Louis, because everybody ate crackers. And after the war, you know, they supplied it to the war. So so it was a very, very lucrative business. And that man was a good man, and he built a really nice house.
Oh, he sure did. He did.
Yeah.
He did it right. Now, you were involved with another house, though, beside 10 Westmoreland.
Oh, I know. That one wasn't old enough. That one was 1896, so I had to find something older. But actually, it found me. As this house, everybody in the Soulard area or who is familiar with it or driven by has seen this house and knows this house. It's kind of a landmark house. It's the Adams family house.
It is. That's for sure.
At the corner of 12th and Lamai in Soulard. And that is 1876. So, and the alley house that's part of it was 1874. And that was Dr. Franz Arts who put that whole thing together. In fact, it's on the Compton Dry map. The back alley house is on the map, but the big house was in the process of being built. There's all kinds of crazy stories about this house that have been going around St. Louis, but one that's true, and it was in the History Museum, is that it's the first house in St. Louis to have radiant heat. This was before radiators were used in homes. So they were used in factories, but they used mm-hmm. them by wrapping pipes around with heat. And so they didn't, Dr. Arts, who was kind of a forward, kind of innovative, really crazy guy, he put pipes in the fancy fireplaces. There's two onyx fireplaces that are beautiful, and then they have these ugly pipes, these steel pipes in them, because they didn't have radiators yet.
Sure. And he had all those, he had a lot of parrots, too.
He had an aviary and a whole grotto that with a man-made cave, which is still there. Everything was kind of...
I mean, this is a real underground cave.
There is a cave, yes.
With stalagmites and stalactites.
Which
and...
they stole from all of the caves in Missouri. He would be in jail if he was alive today.
Right.
But at the time, they went out. It was actually in the Post-Dispatch in 1901, a story about the caves, where they said, but you know how journalism is, they said that there were 10,000 specimens that they stole from the caves in Missouri. And it really is something interesting to see all the crystals. They took all the good stuff, you know.
Yeah, of course.
The pretty stuff, yeah. and glued it all in there.
Now, how big is that house?
Oh, it's so tiny. You know what? It's so deceiving. It looks like it's a huge house.
Yes.
It's amazing how small it is compared to what it appears to be. It's a two-bedroom house, and it's under 3,000 square feet. I think it's only like 2,400 square feet, the actual front house. And then we did add on. We added the original solarium back on, which we made from photos and handmade the windows and did all of that and added. And, it's a struggle when you take a historic thing, what to do. You don't want to change history. But there are times where just because it's old doesn't mean it was good.
Yeah, of course.
Usually it is. Usually it's better, but sometimes it's not. So we did make a few changes. And one of those was we added a kitchen because his was underground. It was a real awkward layout. But back then it was all about heating and air conditioning.
Sure.
They didn't have any air conditioning.
Right.
And to have a St. Louis summer with some comfort, they put their kitchen and their dining room below grade.
So what's down there now?
A library and a bar.
Makes sense. Yes. What the heck? Why not?
Well, as the project went on, I was like, every room's going to turn into a bar. No.
Well, when did this project start? Now, I mean, this is not a 6-month project.
Oh, gosh, Johnny, I'm embarrassed that you're asking me this because this is actually, we just passed the 7-year mark.
Oh, no.
Yes, I know it's terrible, but we're done. We're in the final end stages here. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I know. Well, we built two additions, which was huge. And then we also did something that people always struggle with. We took all the plaster out and replaced it with drywall. And that's like a 50-50 thing where people say, oh, you should never do that. Oh, can't wait to get rid of it. Well, in our case, most of the plaster was gone anyway. It was dead. It was moldy. It was it was really decrepit. So, and I had had enough of plaster. I can die happy without having plaster again, Johnny.
Well, a big job, and it's something people should see. It's right there at 12th and Lamai.
Yes.
And it does look like something out of the Addams Family.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. Well, once again, we just have a moment to talk about the car show. Keaton, tell us again, the car show is when and where?
It's on October 15th. The Cars and Coffee starts at 8 a.m. The main event starts at 10 a.m. and it ends at 3 with the contest and award ceremony. You can find it on Facebook if you search the Cherry Garage on the events. And you can find us on just about any social media platform. We mostly use YouTube and Instagram.
I know. Yeah, you mentioned YouTube. We've got to get to look at that sometime, too.
Oh, yeah.
What's on there?
Oh, we do a lot of how-to videos, some vlogs.
Really? Wow,
we cover some of our projects that we're building and a couple updates on the building as well.
That's in the Historic Automobile Row, and it is this coming Saturday. What about you, Keaton? What is your exact role? Are you involved in, as we were talking about, make cars. How do you make cars? Do you do it yourself?
Everyone that we have there has a hand in building these cars. I'm here with Jacob Case as well. He's my business partner, and he has the electrical background, and I have the mechanical engineering background.
So you got an old car. Say you got, not that old necessarily, a 56 Jaguar, and you wanted to be electrified. Can you do it?
Oh, for sure. We actually have a Jaguar Series 1 with us right now that we're working on.
Wow, this is exciting. This is really something to see. Another great thing about St. Louis, something that is probably not happening in too many cities anywhere. Well, thank you guys all very much for being here, Keaton.
Thank you so much for having us.
Enjoy.
Thank you. It's always such a pleasure.
Where's your friend Ron Stevens? What's happened to him?
Oh, I have to say hi. Hi. Hi, Ron. Ron, too.
Ron, too. He's there somewhere. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. This is At Your Service, and you're listening to KMOX. And, man, we'll probably do this again, hopefully, in a couple of weeks. Next week, we will not be here, though. But I look forward to being with you again at KMOX. This is Johnny Rabbit.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.